And if you've ever heard someone talk about being in a natural disaster zone, they'll often talk about birds madly squawking just before disaster strikes, as if they're having a sixth sense. And perhaps it's this sense that's now alerting scientists to how birds are coping with climate change. And I wonder if they're coping very well. Assistant Professor Shan Shekhajialo is in Byron Bay at the moment. He's from the University of Utah's Department of Biology and also director of the non-profit conservation organisation Kuzi Doga, and he's with us as well. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, thank you, and welcome to the Northern Rivers and the North Coast.
Thank you. It's beautiful here.
Is it your first visit?
No, actually, in 95, I spent the junior fall of my university year in the wet tropics of Queensland, studying rainforest ecology and conservation for 3 months. It was fantastic, and ironically, that area is also now one of the places that is most affected by climate change, and in fact, one of the most important places in the world where the climate change effects on tropical birds are studied.
How has climate change affected that area?
Well, basically, with increasing warming, we have both the vegetation and the dependent endemic bird species forced to move higher up. And because the mountains there are not very high, about a mile high, and in fact, if I remember right, it was Bartle Frere that we climbed to the top of and where we saw the golden bowerbirds. The golden bowerbirds are basically now the flagship species of climate change effects on tropical birds, and they are limited to these montane forests and found only between 700 and 1,500 meters above sea level. So as temperatures warm and their montane forest habitat has to move up, so do these birds. Well, the problem is beyond a certain amount of warming, there is no more place to move up because you run out of mountain. Mm. Right now we are talking about a range size of a couple thousand, about 2,000 square kilometers, that with 3 centigrade warming is reduced to only a few hundred.
And could we see the loss of that species?
Unfortunately, that's a possibility. With warming beyond 4 degrees centigrade in the wet tropics, all the endemic bird species, about 55 of them, become threatened with extinction, and then they start going extinct. And with a 6 centigrade warming, we're talking about 10 species going extinct.
And could we have the double whammy of warming and combine that with loss of habitat?
Absolutely. And in fact, habitat loss can make a big difference in how many bird species will go extinct from climate change. In a 2008 paper, I looked at the effects of both climate change and habitat loss on land bird extinctions. And land birds are about 85% of world's bird species. So we're talking about 8,500 bird species, because there are 10,000 bird species worldwide. And in the worst case scenarios of habitat loss and climate change, we may be looking at 2,500 bird species, land bird species, coming into extinction. And the amount of habitat loss can increase the bird extinctions by up to 50%, even when the temperature warming stays the same. So if habitat loss is less, a lot more species will manage to cope with climate change.
So what happens to the broader ecology once these species do become extinct?
Well, the problem is we often don't know, because these birds provide these ecosystem services and ecological functions that are critical in ecosystems, but whose details are still being investigated, especially in the tropics. But, for example, if you lose frugivores, such as the cassowary, which is one of the most fantastic birds in existence, and in fact, it is my favorite bird. I even had the opportunity to study it near Cairns, and unfortunately, the population I studied in a national park inside Cairns is now extinct. It was already down to 3 birds when we studied in 95. But the southern cassowary, for example, is a critical seed disperser, and in fact, it is the only frugivore big enough to eat the fruits and seeds of certain rainforest tree species and disperse them. And they can disperse them very long distances and therefore reduce the competition of those seeds with their sibling seeds, and also reduce their exposure to seed predators. So if you lose the cassowary, which in fact is globally threatened with extinction and is declining, then some rainforest tree species will no longer have a disperser. And that means that their populations will slowly decline, possibly to extinction.
I'm interested to find out why some species are declining and are becoming vulnerable mm-hmm. when some other species are actually becoming pests.
Exactly. Well, a lot depends on the species ecology. When you have really specialized species, both in diet and habitat, they're limited to a certain type of forest or other habitat, then they have a much less capacity to cope with any type of change, be it climate change or land use change. And in fact, I showed that with another paper where I came up with a specialization index, which is simply a combination of how many habitats a bird uses and how many different types of food that bird species feeds on. And when you compare that to extinction risk, you get a very high correlation, very good relationship, where increased specialization increases extinction risk, and species that are more generalist are far less likely to go extinct because they simply have more capacity to adapt and cope. And so if conditions change, because they are generalist, because they can utilize a lot of types of habitat, a lot of types of food, they simply switch to something else. But unfortunately, most creatures on the planet and most bird species of the world are specialists, and it's also the specialists that are very important for ecosystems because they have a certain function and they do it very well. I mean, the cassowary is, again, a good example of a specialist frugivore that eats only certain types of fruit, usually large fruits, and disperses their seeds. So we are losing the specialists, while some of the generalists are becoming super abundant and becoming pests.
So what is your prognosis for the way that we are going to go forward? Are we going to continue to see many of these species in decline and becoming extinct, or is there something that can be done?
Well, there's a lot that can be done, and in fact, Australia is a global leader in that. And today, just watching the news in the morning, I was very impressed to hear that Australia has actually a minister of climate change and is discussing a carbon tax. That's exactly the kind of thing that needs to be done, and I applaud Australia for showing such global leadership. And the scientific solutions are there, and the number one solution is to reduce our emissions. If we stop having CO2 emissions right now, there's still a roughly 50% chance of a 2 centigrade warming by the end of the century. And 2 centigrade is a critical number because beyond 2 centigrade warming, things get very bad across ecosystems, and not just for ecosystems, but also for people that depend on those ecosystems. So 2 centigrade is a critical threshold, but to really increase our chances to about 75% or to more than a coin toss, we need to actually reduce the CO2 in the atmosphere rather than just stop the emissions. And Australia, with its carbon tax, is taking a global lead and showing global leadership in that. And basically, that's the top priority. Reduce our consumption and reduce our emissions while keeping quality of life the same. And that's possible.
Really lovely to speak with you this morning, and thank you for your time. And you're launching your book tonight, Winged Sentinels in Byron Bay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate your time.
Shan Shekhar-Giulu is our guest, or was our guest, the book Winged Sentinels with author Janice Wormworth. And he his work includes a compilation of the most comprehensive database on the ecology of the world's birds. And he's among the most cited 1% of scientists of the past decade in ecology and environmental science. Received the Whitley Gold Award for Grassroots Conservation in 2008 and chosen Turkey's 2010 Scientist of the Year and recently named National Geographic Emerging Explorer. The book is called Winged Sentinels, How the Fate of the World's Birds Point to Our Climate Change Future.